All right, let's do it. Let's do a show. Let's have some fun. Let's make it interesting. And, you know, top 10 of all time.
Talk photos.
Photography.
Yeah, and photos.
Well, byproduct of photography.
Pictures.
Oh, God. We're doing this again? Are we going to...
No, just giving different names for the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. How long have we been doing the show?
Too long?
No, I meant like 40 seconds. And so far, no, 8 years, 9 years. I don't know. How long has it been?
Yeah.
What do they say? 7 year itch?
Sure.
I got that like 5 years ago. Hello and welcome to episode 406 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me as always is...
Adam in Vancouver.
Look who's monotoning it.
Yeah, yeah. No expression.
We've had audio issues.
When I talk like this, I feel like Batman.
I think I just have audio issues now even, but no, we've had audio and we can't get to the bottom of it, man. Like on your computer, I think it was Skype that was messing things up, which we then deleted Skype. We took it off your computer. We set fire to it, yeah. Stomped it out.
Down with Skype.
Yeah. I think they were messing with things they should not have been messing with. However, it's not 100% solved. So Adam's just gonna be the HAL 2000. The whole
yeah.
I don't know. Is it HAL 2000? It's HAL, right?
It's HAL. Yeah.
You don't know what I'm talking about, do you?
I do. This is a
what is HAL?
He's the computer from Space Odyssey.
Wow. I'm impressed, dude.
Why?
Well, I didn't think you'd pull that one.
Oh, okay.
You know why he's called HAL? I'm gonna have to save face and out nerd you now.
Okay, I do. It's an abbreviation that stands
negative.
Yeah, isn't it?
Negative. No.
Oh no.
There's a very specific reason.
Are you sure it's not an abbreviation?
I'm 100% sure.
Okay.
All the letters of HAL, H A L, are all one letter before I B M.
Oh, wow.
And thus, they are one before IBM.
But don't they use an abbreviation in the book or movie? Or
yeah, no, its full name is Halifax.
Sure. Okay, there you go.
Yeah, it's played by Hal Linden from Barney Miller.
Okay.
Slightly less cool than the IBM joke. Not joke, reference. I'm certain that was IBM was the... Some little in-joke that Kubrick thought was funny. Like, hey, I faked the moon landing. Now here's IBM.
Gotcha.
Although he hadn't faked the moon landing yet by then, had he?
Maybe.
I think Space Odyssey came out 2001. I think it came out in 68. I think.
Okay. I don't remember.
Oh my God. This is boring. What are we doing?
Okay, don't just move along.
Move along. All right. Amazon. Click through our site. Help us out. Have you bought anything on Amazon lately?
No. No, I have not.
I have. I bought a couple things. Multiple. No, nay. Multiple things. It's been a good week. It's been me and my mailman, we're buddies now.
What'd you buy?
I bought a lens hood. For the 24-105.
Okay.
I bought the off-brand one though.
Yeah, why bother? Probably triple the price.
A little bit more than triple actually.
Wow.
Yeah, the one I bought was 10, I think it was 10 bucks, 10 euros. And they wanted 35 euros, I think. I think it was around 35 to 38 euros, something like that, for the Canon branded one. And for me, it was like okay, I would like something to stand in the way of my lens so nothing smacks into it.
Right.
That's essentially what I use a a lens hood for. Barely even the lens flare. So I bought that, bought a book. I bought a book yesterday, a couple days ago. Because when you're listening to this, yesterday was a red letter day in, well, technology, but aerospace history. So do you know what happened on October the 14th, many years ago?
First man on the moon?
No, that was in July.
Okay.
July 20th.
I thought I'd take a stab at it just because they came out with that movie, and I thought maybe they timed it for the,
no.
the date. Okay, so what happened?
That, you know what? That's a good point. They should have gone for July 20th, 1969. So, yeah, I guess that would be, what is it? That makes it, oh, next year. It would have been better next year, right?
Sure.
I'm not in charge of that. The so October 14th, 1947. It's one of my favorite days in history because I'm a humongous nerd. Chuck Yeager breaks the sound barrier.
Wow.
You're not giving it enough gravitas, man.
I don't want to raise my voice too high because it might get clipped.
That's true. You might. well, I'm amazed. I'm amazed by technology and history and technology within history and the fact that the very first jet airplane is sort of, I guess, the jet fighter takes flight like in 1944. And I don't know if he was the first one to do it, but Chuck Yeager shot down one of the first jet airplanes in like jet fighters.
I feel like this was a grade eight project that you did or something.
No, not at all. This is not on the curriculum.
Okay.
And so he ends up shooting down in 1944. He shoots down a Messerschmitt ME-262 and with a prop airplane, which is highly unlikely. And then 2 years later he breaks the sound barrier in the X-1. And so it's a book I've read a couple of times called Yeager, and I think it's called Yeager, An Autobiography. Regardless, it's about Chuck Yeager. And I no longer own it. I don't know where the book went. And I said, you know what? I got to read that again. So in honor of however many years it's been, 71, I went and bought the book on Amazon. So I highly recommend it. If you're looking for a great read, I love that book. At least I did when I was like 16, and we'll see if I like it still. I haven't read it yet. It just showed up yesterday. But it's great. He talks about his World War II experience and getting shot down over occupied France and then breaking the sound barrier and then a bunch of other stuff we skip over. But the that part was awesome. So about that.
Cool.
Nothing to do with photography at all.
No, nothing.
I did buy something to do with photography.
Let's hear it.
I bought an SD reader, a Lightning to SD adapter for my iPhone.
Okay.
Have you seen, do you need one of those?
No.
I don't think I need one. I just like it. So now you can go ahead and shoot. And if you want to send stuff out from your iPhone, like right away, boom, it's very simple. Upload it, off it goes. Instagram it, whatever you want to do. Done. $10.
Okay.
I recommend getting one because
why would I need this if I can do it via?
You don't need it. Why would you need anything?
But I mean,
I
can directly link my phone to my camera.
You can direct the 6D.
Yeah.
Why has Wi-Fi?
Yeah, you know this.
No, I don't know it because the 5D Mark III does not.
Oh yeah, the 6D does.
Well, I thought didn't the 6D come out before the 5D Mark III?
I believe so, but they have it.
Oh.
I use it next to never.
Well, no, because I was actually shooting the other day with my X100 that does have it, and it is cumbersome at best. And so I said, I kind of don't want to do this anymore. Like I was snapping photos, and it was like, you know what? I'm going to send this out to Oma and Opa, Grandma and Grandpa, and it was really cumbersome. It wasn't working, and I felt like a jerk. But now with the 5D Mark III I have, it's got the two slots, so I don't really care about redundancy. It never comes up. I've never had a problem, knock on wood. But so now I said, you know what? I'm going to set this to shoot raw on the CF card. And I'm going to shoot small JPEG to the SD card, which you can do. You can split it up like that, right?
Sure.
Dual cards.
Yeah.
Hey, welcome to 2006, Adam. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I do. So all you do is pop out the SD card, pop it in, boom, it loads up on the iPhone, and you can tweet it out immediately. I don't need this. You're right. The N word here doesn't apply. You don't need it. I'm just hearing that out loud and realizing that the N word was the bad way to go on that.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, it turns out, don't blame me. That's, anyways, I didn't need it. Bought it on a whim for $10. Kind of like it. I've already used it. Probably got $1 a use already.
Okay, you're well on your way.
All right. Point is, click through our site, help us out. All right, what's going on, Adam? We're so far into the show, and I don't even know what's going on with you.
I bought a car.
Mmm. Did you get the Corvette?
Yep. No, I bought a 2018 Honda Civic.
Oh.
Yeah.
What color? So, wait. Is it red?
No.
Is it black?
No.
We're running out of good colors now.
Okay.
What do you got? Gray?
Yeah, like a gunmetal gray.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it. It's
it'll go well with your dad bod.
It's got all the new tech. That's what I like. I mean, this is just okay. My commuter car.
I thought you weren't going for tech.
No, it's just what comes in the base model.
Oh, so what does that mean? Like what, like tech? Like you got Bluetooth?
I've got the Apple CarPlay, which is the greatest thing ever.
Really?
Yeah, it is so awesome.
Okay, what does that mean?
So I think it's probably standard on almost all vehicles from like 2016 on, but I plug my phone.
Can you listen to the Two Hosers podcast on it?
You can, absolutely. All the podcasts pop up. It basically, you plug in your phone and then you're like, you have a big screen on your dash. I don't know, eight inch screen or something on your dash that becomes basically like your iPhone screen. So it has your all touch screen, has your, you know, your apps. It has your, you know, I have the Apple Music subscription. So has all my playlists, everything right there at the touch. And then it also has all your podcasts. And when a text message comes in, it just talks to you. So it just tells you what the text message says. You all voice control. So if I want to reply, just talk back to it. It's pretty sweet.
Sounds awesome.
It sounds just like, yeah. I mean, again, this is probably stuff that everyone's had for 2 years, but yeah, it comes as a base model inclusion, and unbelievable how nice it is to have that, especially for podcasts and for music. It's pretty sweet, and it's very much voice controlled. So I like that. I don't want to have to fumble around. I mean, you have all the controls for everything on your steering wheel, but I still don't. I prefer to just be able to set it, leave it. And then I like I never answer text messages because I'm against all that in the car. But the fact that it just, when it comes in, it just tells you what it says. And then you can decide whether or not you want to reply or not via voice activation. And so far, the couple times I've used it, it works pretty, pretty fantastically.
The downside, there's a downside to this.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, I am going to text you like crazy now.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to figure out when you're driving it to work.
The best part is it's an Australian woman's accent that's reading your text. Yeah, that's what I have it on. Yeah.
Why would you not pick that?
Yeah, so it's funny when I did have a text from you that she read, and I thought it was funny coming from her voice.
I'm now going to write in an Australian woman's voice. This will be an audiobook that you publish, is my text in an Australian woman's voice.
Right. I have a bit of a gripe about buying a car, and it's the same gripe I have about renewing your mortgage that we probably talked about, I don't know, when I renewed my mortgage 6 months ago. Like the absolute, I don't know if it's the same in Europe as it is in North America, but just the games that are played in terms of getting the best price on a vehicle. Like I just hate the process. It's such a pain in the rear end, but It's a necessary right. evil if you want to save yourself a bunch of money. So
what are the games you have to play to get a fair price?
Well, these vehicles, so these are 2018s, and Honda's not, like, if you buy a 2019, you're not going to have much ability to negotiate on the price. But on right. the 2018s, they're trying to clear them off the lot, obviously. So you have a little bit more leverage as far as the buyer is concerned, because they're trying to get rid of these now, right? Whatever ones they
so
have.
So when you walk in, the first thing you say to the guy is, I will walk out of here right now.
No, I think they have like a deal on, which is a Honda Canada-wide. They probably have a similar deal going on in the U.S. So they tell you, oh, yeah, these are on sale. We're giving you $750 off the price. And they hope that you kind of go, oh, my gosh, that's the greatest deal ever, and walk away.
Yeah.
And so, you know, basically, I'm the family's negotiator when it comes to these scenarios. I've helped lots of family members buy cars because I'm very stubborn and I'm willing to walk away over a small amount just to get what I want. So that's mm-hmm. it's a good skill when it comes to buying things like this, is knowing
throwing a tantrum, you mean?
Yeah. Or knowing where you have leverage as a buyer. I mean, they're ultimately mm-hmm. making money. They might make less money, but they're making money. So anyways, I say to the guy, you know, I say, I'm going to buy one of these cars this weekend. I'm also an informed consumer, and I'm going to, you know, shop around in terms of, I'm going to call all the other dealerships in my area, and I'm going to find out if this is the best price. So why don't you put your best foot forward with the best price so that we can save ourselves some time and get this done? And then, of course, you know, they do what they always do in dealerships, which is, okay, I'll go back and talk to my manager. That's what the salesperson yeah, is. Manager. And they go back, and then they come back and they say, okay, here's what I can do. I can shave another $300 off the price. And
okay.
And then they say, you know what? If you can do better somewhere else, just please be sure to call us back, and then I'll see what I can do at that point. So, you know, basically I go home, I call a few dealerships, I find out, oh, okay, I can do much better than what this guy is telling me.
Whoa, hang on. I've never bought a car from a dealer in my life.
Okay.
Well, it's not really. It's sort of a have, but it was $400, so it doesn't matter. That's a true story. But he's telling you, if you can do better, call us back.
Right.
I don't like that at all.
No, neither do I.
Like, I'm going to walk. I'm just going to make a big stink and walk on that guy, because you basically what you're saying is, hey, how about you do all my work for me?
Yeah. Yeah, basically. No,
yeah, I don't like that guy.
I don't think it's do my work for me. It's
a little bit.
It's we're hoping that you'll settle on a deal that makes us more profit. And
yeah, no, that's always the, but that's the nature of business. I always want to buy low and sell high. That's the nature of it. Hashtag don't steal my investing advice. But the idea of, well, you call around. If you get a better deal, call us. No, if I get a better deal, I'm taking that deal. But how about this? How about you beat that deal now?
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't make me do some bunch of legwork for this. But you know it. We have that little thing on our phone called the internet.
Yes. But here's the problem. And the same exact system is in place when you deal with mortgages for big banks. It's a policy that says, and again, I know this because I know people that work for banks and do mortgages, and it's basically, we're allowed to match to this if you can show us that you've got offered this. Like, they won't right. give it to
it's,
you.
Well, it's like buying a DVD player at the Future Shop. It's like, well, you know, I can't think of anywhere else who sells them anymore, but like, yeah, the Bay sells them for $99. So, okay, fine, I can match it. I can price yeah. match that.
And then I can drop it by 5% or whatever yeah. the deal is. So in doing the car, I basically called a couple dealerships, just talked to sales and say, okay, here's what they're offering me. You know, what can you do? And so then, you know, shave another $500 off of that price. And then I call back to the original dealership. And the reason I don't even want to deal with the original dealership, but the reality of it is it's in Richmond. It's close to me. And so right. That makes a difference, because proximity sure. matters. I'm going to have to go back. I'm going to have to sign paper, like going back and forth to something that's going to be a 40-minute drive each way.
Oh, and then when you have a warranty on, like maybe a 3-year warranty.
Yeah, or you're going to do your service there. Yeah. So bottom line is, I want to deal with the local place for my own convenience, but I also hate them because they're a pain in the butt. So anyways, I ultimately go back and forth and get different options. I wanted, like, okay, like, I'm trying to think, what else can I get thrown in? So I got, like, you know, the special all-weather mats thrown in, and I got another few hundred dollars off the price. So where we landed was almost $1,500 less than where I said, just give me your best price so we can stop this charade. And we finished with $1,500 less and new mats. So,
and if you back that out, that's about $8 an hour in the time you spent negotiating. Oh,
it's just, well, it actually didn't take long because I just had to call a few places, but it was just more the frustration. And the best part was at the end of it. So here's the end of my negotiation was, okay, so I would basically say, okay, I want this, 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 and this. And then they'd say, okay. And then he'd go print up a contract and then I'd go through it and I'd be like, well, what's this? There's $300 for this weird insurance that we never talked about or I don't want. Mm. And then he'd be like, oh.
Well, that's the undercoating. Got to get the undercoating. Got to get the true coat.
It was just there. And we did this on a few things. And then finally, final deals drawn up. And then I see he's got the mats in there, but now they've charged me $200 for them. And I said, well, what's going on? Like, what's with all the games? And he's like, oh, well, I thought because I gave you another couple hundred bucks off the price that the deal was you're going to pay for the mats. And then I was like, all right, I'm done here. Like throw the mats in or I walk in away. So it was ultimately down to the mats. And the guy said, oh, we can't do it. There's no way I can do the mats. So I said, I guess the deal's done then. And he said, yeah, I really can't do it. And so anyway, so he goes back and he's talking to his manager. I'm done at this point. I'm like, we're done. I just can't deal with people who are like, honestly, the mats is the difference maker for you guys at the dealership, which I knew was complete garbage, right? So anyways, he's up at the front talking to his quote unquote manager. And then I just like, all right, my lease is there too. Cause you know, we were going to sign paperwork. And so I just bypass the sales guy and I just go right up to the manager. I say, here's the deal. You got 2 minutes to decide. Either I walk out or you throw in the mats or we're done. And then he looks at the guy next to him and he's like, well, why do you even want to buy it here? And I said, because I live in Richmond and that's the only reason. Otherwise I wouldn't give you guys my business. You're horrible at this. I said to him, are you not making a profit on this? Are you losing money here? And then he turned to the dealership manager and he's like, can we do it? And he said, go ahead. The end. And it just all of it for what was like so much frustration on the buyer's end. And yeah. Like all it leaves you is with a complete like distaste for dealing with these kind of dealerships and just how dirty it is. It's just all dirty. It gives you a bad feeling when you leave it. I mean, I would think that they would just want, you know, customers to be happy and I'm going to dump X number of $1,000 in the dealership for services over the next 5 years because pretty much get the warranty service done at the dealership until the warranty is expired. And so mm-hmm. I don't get it. I don't get why, how short-sighted and silly the whole process is.
I'll talk to a few people and see what I can do.
Yeah. Anyways, the car is awesome though. And I do like,
well, that's good.
And I do like the Apple CarPlay. That is awesome.
All right. Yeah. And it's automatic.
It's an automatic. Yeah.
You went automatic. Okay. I didn't know Honda made, I guess. Yeah. I guess they do make, oh yeah. Okay. Back in the day, Hondas used to make a lot of stick shifts.
Yeah. They do have a manual transmission with the base, but I did not want it for the reasons that we talked about last week. Yeah. But the car, I can't believe how, like, cause I had my first car that I bought was a Civic 2004 and comparing that to how like peppy this new,
it's a 2.0?
2.0, yeah. It is so Jeepers. It is so quick. Like I can't even believe how quick this thing is.
Even in an automatic, which we talked about, but like our car is it's not a minivan, but it's a minivan. It's called a minivan. I don't care.
Sure.
It's a Volkswagen, they don't sell it in North America, so I can't even describe it to you. But it's a stick shift because it has a 1.2 liter engine.
Right.
Like, and it's fine. Like, I have zero complaints. Like, I'm not racing it. You know, like, there's no need for it. And so I can only imagine even what a 2.0 is in that little four-seater you have.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Like, all the time I'm looking down going, oh my gosh, like, I can't believe I'm going this fast. It doesn't feel like it's going fast. It doesn't make almost any noise whatsoever. So you don't mm-hmm. get any sense that you're actually going as fast as you are. But holy smokes.
Okay, but to make our listeners even care one bit, you have to photograph this thing now.
At some point, I will photograph it.
Yeah, you have to photograph this. All right.
All right.
All right, so what's going on over here? I'm just going to brag a little bit. We're having summer. Right today is October the 12th.
Okay.
I didn't go today, but the outdoor pool is still open. It is actually summer in October, and not even Indian summer. Like, if I were to say to you, hey, what was my thermometer outside hitting today? What are you gonna push it at?
18.
28.
Wow.
Ridiculous. However, the downside is I
went low for dramatic effect.
Of course you did. But it was like 28 today. It was like, honestly, like the old people had to go in the house.
Okay.
I don't mean me. I mean the old people. There's old people here.
Okay. Over 50s. And,
oh, there's over 90. But okay. But they remember when there was actually still one Germany and then two and then one again.
Right.
And so anyways, but a lot of editing though. And so this is always the rub. Like I absolutely hate editing when it's nice out. It's like, to me, it's the worst. It's just such a gut punch. You're like, I should be outside riding my bike. And no, I gotta be. I guess it's the same with you. You're giving rub downs to old dudes or whatever it is that you do.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So anyways. All right. I have a gripe for you, which I'm going to save for next week because we went over.
Okay.
Reminder, monthly photo challenge, broad light. Last month we did short lighting. Now we're going to do broad lighting. Hashtag that. Two Hosers Monthly Challenge or Hey Hosers, hashtag Hey Hosers on Instagram, and we'll check that out. All right. Did you shoot anything interesting this week?
No.
Good. Awesome. You should start doing that.
Do interesting things?
Shoot interesting things, yeah. It wouldn't hurt. It wouldn't hurt you.
We went to the Seahawks game.
So you shot some stuff there though. You posted it.
Yeah, so there you go. I should
All right, check it out on his Instagram or whatever. How did the game go? Who won?
The Rams won. It was an awesome game. It ended up 33-31. It was an offensive showdown. It was, you could not do better for, you know,
how did Steve Largent do?
He was great. Yeah, there was actually a lot of Largent jerseys there.
Was there really?
Yeah, there was I saw a bunch of them. But no, it was a great game. Tons of offense. So exciting. Came right down to the end. It was, you couldn't ask for much better as far as.
Yeah, but how was the stadium experience?
So good. So good.
Yeah.
70.
Did you tailgate ahead of time?
There was like a family friendly, huge, like thousands of people tailgate party in like a big building directly connected to the stadium that had all kinds of interactive games. Like you could run a 40-yard dash, which the kids did. You could throw footballs at like targets and you could kick field goals, and there was live bands and beer gardens, and it was huge. We did that for about 2 hours before the game.
Nice.
So no, we had a great time. They give away all kinds of prizes. They had, you know, free face painting. We got face painting done, and you could get a
lot. Have you ever paid for face painting?
I don't think so.
No. Never in my life has my kids ever paid for
face painting. Yeah, I can't think so, but maybe without me, my wife and kids has. But no, never paid for it. They have a Christmas party every year at my sister-in-law's accounting firm that does amazing face painting, and that's
right. Somebody pays for that. And that.
Oh yeah.
But I'm thinking about, hey America, when you're crying about socialism, free face painting, that sounds socialist to me.
Yeah, sure does.
Had to get political, didn't it?
Yeah. So awesome. just took my tiny little camera and the RX100 and snapped a few shots inside the stadium. So. I check my wife's Instagram. Maybe I'll send you a couple pics and you can post them.
Okay.
All right.
My son had one of his little pretend soccer tournaments where everybody gets to go run around, and I don't know. It's actually mayhem. It's organized chaos. What they do is they get like villages and soccer clubs from all around the area drive in at, I forget what the start time is. It's like 8 in the morning. It'd leave the house at like 7:45 or something, which is delightful. And then drive out there and then wait for an hour and a half, which is what I explained to my wife. And I'm the one taking him. And I was like, come on. Like, we'll get there. We can show up an hour late. No one's going to know, right?
Right.
Like, the game won't start. Like, he'll not miss a game. But no. He's going to be there. He's going to be there early to get his uniform and then just sit and wait for an hour, you know? So anyways, So we go out there and did that, and it was fun. Watching the parents, though. So my son is, just to give you some backstory, if you don't know, my son is still 4. He turns 5 in a couple months. And so my whole thing is, like, if he goes out there for the 3 hours and plays multiple games, the games are like 10 or 15 minutes long. I don't even know. They take care of that. And if he goes out there the whole time and does not pee his pants, I consider it a win. And so far, he's not. He's not peed his pants ever. He's like in soccer, anyways. And so it's a win. But we have these other parents who are screaming and yelling, like, just it's what hockey is in Canada, actually.
Okay.
You get the parents who are going nuts because apparently it's a tryout for the NHL, et cetera, et cetera. And I was like, oh man, my kid just runs around with a smile on his face the whole time. So I was like, well, that's all I want. Like, I don't really care. I actually don't care if he ever plays soccer after this. Like, it doesn't matter to me.
Right.
Anyway, so I took the X100 Fuji out there and just snapped a couple of photos. So I posted one that I was actually pretty happy with this photo of him, the back of him. He got number 8 that day. They hand out uniforms every day, so you get a different one every time. But he happened to get number 8 this time, which is my number, which is his number in baseball, et cetera, et cetera. But in between games, he was just kind of looking out over the other field, and I just snapped this photo. And the reason I liked it is because this is the X100 with the on-camera fill flash.
Gotcha.
Which I never do. I'm not a humongous fan of fill flash, but it is just a tiny little flick of light that lights up his back, the number 8, et cetera, et cetera, that really makes this photo work. Otherwise, it's just, like, I took a bunch without the flash. They are terrible. Even if you try to save them in post, it's just meh. That little, tiny little flash makes all the difference in this situation.
Cool.
Otherwise, the sky is blown out. You can figure out where we're going with this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then at the end of the little pretend tournament, he got a little pretend medal, which he was so thrilled with. Could not be more excited about this little medal that just says nothing on it. There's nobody won. I don't think they don't keep score. Just go out there again and not pee their pants for 3 hours and everybody wins. But he got a medal and he brought it home and he slept with it under his pillow for 2 nights.
Nice.
Just thrilled. So I said, you know what, buddy, we're setting up the studio. And I even got the smoke machine out. I was like, yeah, this calls for smoke. This calls for a fog machine. And so we fog machined him. And hence, that's the little snapshot I took for Oma for the medal. So
cool. All
right. Photo challenge this week was it snow spray? I hope not, because only you did that.
Backlight.
No, backlighting. All right. I think we did the same photo, man.
Yeah, pretty much. I looked at
them. Did you see my photo ahead of time?
I did not.
That's funny. That's funny because I looked at yours and I thought, no, I don't think Adam would, like, if he'd seen mine, he would purposely go a different direction. So yeah. He must have taken this.
Yep.
All right. So let's look at yours first then.
Okay.
What's going on here? We got your son. We got Seahawks. We got Team Spain, obviously. Big fan of Spain.
Yeah. He has just got his white hockey jersey, but you know, they're kind mm-hmm. of like it's kind of a mesh jersey. And so mm-hmm. when you backlight it, the jersey's quite large, large arms, large body. And then he had this red shirt underneath and you see how little of his body fills this giant jersey. And so it was just such a weird looking photo that I said, no, we gotta do without the jersey. So we went with the shirt that was underneath, and he wanted a Seahawks hat, and that's it. We tried with the arms out and rim lighting the whole thing, which was a little bit weird and off-putting when he did it with his arms way out, almost like the old Michael Jordan poster, you know, that everyone had in the room when circa 1985, mm-hmm. you know, the one with the wingspan. But yep. we went with the crossed arm shot and black background in behind, and just two flashes, one kind of mid back, one just sort of neck height, to rim light the whole thing or backlight the whole thing. There is no fill light in here. This is all pumped light from the flashes.
So you said two lights.
Two lights, both behind him.
Both lights are behind him. Okay.
Yeah.
And so where's the light on his face coming from?
I guess it's just in the room from that much flash power. Like, I've got the flash power pretty high, and and I think it's just hitting some of the walls maybe and filling it in. I'm not sure.
Okay. What do you think of this photo? Do you like it?
I like the effect. The photo itself is nothing, but I do like the effect.
I kind of feel the same way, skipping ahead to mine, but I mean, I feel the same way where it's like, this is pretty, this could be cool in the right context.
Yeah. I'm not sure what the context would be though, that I would use this. Yeah.
Yeah.
I did this because of
definitely a birthday.
I did this because of simplicity and because the time of day, like I was not going to walk into the right scenario for a well lit backlighting type photo that wasn't going to be a lot of effort last night when I had to do this. So I went with the, what I knew would work as far as the effect. And then I wasn't really thinking too much about producing a gallery type photo.
Gotcha. Yeah. No, this sounds like backpedaling. You shouldn't backpedal. This is pretty cool. And so I say that, you know, being that mine's almost identical, but, no, I had something else in mind when I was going to shoot mine. I mean, I knew, you know, we had this nice weather coming, and I thought, oh, you know, my kids will be out playing, and we'll snap some, you know, something outside. And it turns out my kids don't care.
Right.
They don't care about the show. They don't care about me. They don't care about you, the listener, turns out.
Right.
Yeah, so let's take that. Take that, everybody. So I also did the same thing. Now, I posted two for a very specific reason, but I'm going to go ahead. I'm gonna do the hood up is my selection.
Okay.
With a caveat. Now, I'm glad to see that you posted yours. That you, like, your photo is almost the exact same method as mine, because I look at mine and my main rub is it looks like a poorly cut out thing that somebody threw up on MySpace 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not. This is essentially out of camera.
Yeah.
So this is exactly the same, pretty much almost the same method as you. Did not use a black background though. Let the background just fall off to nothing. I actually used a white background, except for it wasn't a background, it was a foreground, it was behind me. I had to do a photo shoot the day before for some gig. I like saying gig, but some paid gig. And so I had the white background still up. And I essentially used it as a bounce board. So I put my back to it, had my daughter stand as close as she could to me and still be in focus with the 50 millimeter lens, and put a flash behind her, exactly the same as you did, just only did the one. And then the flash bounced off the white background behind me and bounced into her face to light her up. And that's how I lit her. But you see that little halo around. Because the little hairs on it are all just in super sharp focus, it looks like a horrible cutout job.
Mm-hmm.
So does that ruin the photo?
Not really. No.
Even now that I say it, so that's why I posted the second one, to show you that no, this was in camera. So this is the second one with her hood down. You can see her hair lighting up. Now her hair looks too messy to be a good photo, but it does prove that I swear I did this in camera.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I thought the same thing about the cutout thing when I looked at mine. I thought, huh, this looks kind of weird. Like, I just cut it out, had a little bit of, maybe out of white.
No, but you kept the little dust. First of all, your wife can dust a little bit more.
Yeah, no kidding. And also,
let's not be sexist. You can do it too.
Just also the way the shirt, right? Like, you can tell with the shirt.
Yes.
Or in your case, your daughter's hood, like how it's
lit
from behind, or my son's ear, like that's all lit up. But at the same time, it still does just look weird with the white trace all the way around it.
Yeah. So I'm wondering if, like, should I have left a little bit of ambient in behind? I don't know. I don't know what would make this work. Or angle, instead of hiding the flash like I did, like you did, hiding the flash behind the subject, do we bring it out a little bit and have it be part of the image?
I did one like that.
Yeah, I didn't. I was considering going and doing it again.
Yeah, I did
just
one
to prove.
It's nothing fantastic either.
but it does prove that you're not cheating. And that's the thing. And so Anyways, I like what's going on here, but it's unclear to me where this will get used.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, a lot of fun for everybody.
In studio backlighting.
Yeah, I don't know. I think this is a good start. I think there's a lot that can be done with this that'll make this into something that would be good.
Well, and I think that if we actually, like, where I would probably use this is I really hammered the, and obviously you did too, the backlighting intensity, like the flash power,
right,
as much stronger than I would normally do. If I was going to studio light this and use a front light, I'd probably have the flash turned down probably at an intensity of about half of what I actually used in this photo.
Or if that.
Yeah. Maybe in a third. And then on top of it, you're also going to light the front. And so it's going to be a much more subtle effect.
Yeah.
But where all of the light in the image was coming from the backlighting, in order to get enough light in the foreground, I had to pump that. Here, I'll show you. And you can post this too. This was an effect of having the light in the image, and you tell me if you like it better. So this is,
mm-hmm.
I'm gonna send this to you so you can comment on it in about 38 seconds.
Okay. So what should we do for the next 38 seconds?
I don't know.
About why. No. So my one of the other points I was making is that you kept all the dust in. I had a little bit of dust in my daughter's photo and I cloned it out.
Yeah, I couldn't be bothered.
You couldn't be bothered, but I actually thought about it later, and I thought, well, actually cloning that dust out kind of makes it look fake, whereas right. yours actually adds to it. In fact, it'd be better if there's more like sort of like a LeBron James pregame kind of dust would be cool. So maybe not cool, but at least say, hey, this is actually happening. Not just some horrible cutout in paint, in Microsoft Paint. So there's that.
You get my photo yet?
Yeah. Oh, it did come up. Yeah, okay. That's fine.
That's what I mean. It's fine. Yeah. It's not better.
No, I was thinking more a little higher and to the right. And then you'd get a little more contour on like the front of your subject, but still, yeah. Yeah, I'm glad I didn't waste my time resetting it up.
Yeah, it doesn't make it a whole lot better.
All right. Topic. Moving on. We'll call it a tie. Tie for last.
Okay.
All right, topic this week is we want to talk a little bit more, I want to talk a little bit more about your snow spray photo from last week.
Okay.
Now, you hinted at it. You talked a little bit about it. I said, hey, hold that. We'll talk about it next week. So explain to us how you took this shot. How many flashes?
Two flashes. And
two flashes. Okay. Two bare flashes?
Two bare flashes. Camera left.
Uh-huh. Hence the double shadow.
Yep. And then just kind of put in front, just kind of trying to trigger it just in front of where they're going to stop. So the light kind of passes just in front of them. So it seems like they're going from dark to light in the, in the image. They're both on high speed sync, ISO around.
The high speed sync part, that was the part we were going to get at this week.
Right. And the high speed sync plus they were shot at about an ISO of, I don't know, do you have the metadata there?
I think you probably strip it.
Oh, I don't do that intentionally.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm going to say it's like 1/1000th of a sec, or no, 1/1600th of a second shutter speed at an ISO of about 1,000, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when I did it thinking two things. One, I wanted to try to eliminate the motion blur as best I could, which wasn't happening when I had a slow shutter speed. And then two, with the slow shutter speed, I want to say whatever my 6D does 1/180th of a second, not being able to see the ceiling lights illuminated the way I wanted. So the combination of the high speed sync and the higher ISO allowed for two birds with one stone, the freezing the action a lot easier, and being able to expose the lights, which was kind of the key element in the photo properly.
Okay. So to back this up, so the idea is you're in a relatively dark
quite dark
arena.
Yeah,
with a quite dark.
Yeah,
but quite dark is good.
Yeah,
in this case, in the situation that you find yourself in, darker the better.
Okay.
In fact, pitch black, except for focusing, which we can deal with, is the ideal. You want it pitch black. Now, so the fact that you had to go to high speed sync is kind of what sort of tripped my thinking and thought, I don't know if you did. I don't know if you do need to use high speed sync here. It certainly works. Like you stop the action. But the first thing I thought of when I saw this photo was like, you know what I would like? I would like it if you could stop the action on the kid, yet keep the blur, the motion blur on the snow. And is that possible? And that would not be easy to do, first of all, without Photoshop.
Right.
Now, and forget Photoshop for this. This would be just complete pain. Plus, you got like, 14, 15 kids a team. No way you're doing that. So how do we do that? There's got to be a sweet spot where the kid is stopping and the bulk of his body is frozen at a certain shutter speed, and not even a shutter speed, which we're going to talk about in a sec, at a certain speed, he'll be frozen, yet the snow will be slightly blurred, which would look really cool. Although it does look cool when it's frozen too. It's not a deal breaker. However, you should be able to do this without high-speed sync.
Okay.
Now, the idea being, high-speed sync is awesome because it allows you a much faster shutter speed. So in a conventional sense, if you're shooting action, you want as fast a shutter speed as you can. So I go out and shoot baseball, and I want to try to freeze the bat on the ball. I'm gonna try to get everything at 1/8,000th of a second, which is the max of like the 5D or the 40D or whatever I shoot with. I think it's probably 1/4,000th for the 6D.
Yeah.
That's what you want to aim for. So that makes complete sense. That's how you freeze the action. But when we're shooting with flash, the flash power, how much light we use is governed by how long it's turned on for, essentially. So if we shoot a flash at full power, it's just on longer, which is the equivalent of a slower shutter speed.
Right.
So if you were to just open up your shutter, like on a bulb setting, just hold it open in complete black and fire off your flash at full power, it's going to be the equivalent of a slow shutter speed. So if something's moving through the frame, it's going to be blurred. If we ramp it all the way back down to 1/64th power, which is probably where these flashes will go to, that time is very, very short. It's the equivalent of a very fast shutter speed. So far, with me so far?
100%.
Okay. Now, the difference being is you need light. You need to fill up that frame. And so the idea is you want to kill as much of the ambient light. Now, just to go back and explain what high-speed sync is. High-speed sync is once you go over the actual physical sync speed. We've done high-speed sync before, so you might want to go back and listen. If you don't know what high-speed sync does, or that's not true. If you don't know what a shutter does, how a shutter physically operates, and how a flash works within that, you kind of have to go back and listen. But if 1/200th of a second is our barrier of actual normal flash, they invented this thing called high-speed sync, which will basically just kind of flood. It'll drop the power on the flash down, but it'll just flood a whole bunch of repetitive pulses. So it's essentially like a continuous light for a very short time. So it's like having a giant, like a big 10K movie light flashing, except for it's only for like a split second that the shutter is open. From just before the shutter is open till just after the shutter is open, you're blasting a bunch of light in. But it can't handle it. It can't do the full power because it's only got so much battery power, and it's going to fire off like 100 flashes, or I don't even know how many, but it's going to flash off a bunch to get full coverage. That's the gimmick. I say gimmick. It's not. It's kind of cool. I like it. However, we don't necessarily need it. Now, how would we go about shooting this, first of all, why would we go about shooting this with just a regular flash without using high-speed sync and still getting the effect that Adam wanted? The reason being, it would give us much more flexibility in what we want to shoot. So let's say we want to feather it perfectly so that we see the kid frozen in time, but yet the snow spray a little bit blurry. Because I'm guessing they travel right when this kid stopped, those two things are traveling at different speeds.
Okay, yeah.
And thus we can nail it. So, first step, we have to kill you, because part of your deal is you don't just want to kill all the ambient, you kind of want to have those lights in the ceiling.
Right.
So we have one exposure. We have the ambient exposure to deal with first. And our deal is we want to take whatever existing ambient exposure is in the building, and we want to kill that as best we can. But we want to kill that in a very specific way. First step, we drop down the ISO. So you're probably at, you said you were at ISO 1000?
I think so, just to get the right balance. I just tinkered with it until I had the balance of the ambient that I wanted with the exposure that I wanted from the flash.
Okay. Now, the reason I want to dive into this is because I really like this is really cool. And you could be the guy in the Lower Mainland who does this. I don't know if you want to be that guy, but you could be that guy. Like, this is no one else is doing these photos, I don't think. Maybe they are, but not on this podcast, I'll tell you that.
I haven't seen it. I'll put it that way.
No, this is very unique. This is really cool looking. You have something here, and I think this is worth exploring. So, first step is we want to treat this as two exposures. We have the ambient exposure, we have the flash exposure. So the first exposure is the ambient. We deal with that first. And you know full well that you're basically doing two things. You want to knock down the general exposure in the building, which is already pretty low, and expose for the practical lights so that they appear in the image. So the first thing I would do is I would set the camera to ISO 100, the lowest possible there is. The second thing I would do is I would max out the shutter speed, which is normally 1/200th, in this case 1/180th of a second. And that's going to kill as much light as possible. And so now I'm going to open up the aperture to whatever the maximum is going to be. I think probably 3.5 for that lens.
Yeah, something like that.
So it's a cheap zoom lens you have. Sorry, cost-efficient zoom lens that you have. And so it's when you're wide open, it's 3.5 is the widest it'll go. So I would then take a test shot at ISO 100, 1/180th at f3.5, and see what that gives me. Now, if that gives me enough of an exposure to kill it and get the lights, I'm good. But from that point on, I'm going to then dial in the aperture. Now, here's where the problem happens. As you close down the aperture, you need more flash power. As you need more flash power, it's technically a longer exposure time. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the blur comes in. So if you want to be able to try to get this image exposed properly with the widest aperture you can, ideally the widest aperture / ISO, that combination, shutter speed does not matter. You want to leave shutter speed as fast as you can to kill all the ambient you can. You kill as much ambient with the shutter speed as you can, and the rest falls on an ISO aperture combination.
Yeah, and I think where I wound up is somewhere around an F7 or an F8, and the reason being is that it's too hard with this lens. This lens isn't good enough to focus fast enough. And so if I went wide on the aperture, like an F3 or whatever the widest it can go, I'm not going to get a sharp image. Just that, okay. And I can't set a focus trap because that would assume that these kids could all hit the mark, which they can't. So unless I'm going to have them completely pose still, I need more wiggle room. I need to be at to get a focus that I can keep, you know, everything sharp. I'm going to have to be closer to an F8 for this particular lens.
Understandable. Yeah. So now that you do that, now as soon as you're introducing an F8, now you need more flash power.
Yeah, and I need more ambient too.
Well, in theory,
I'm pretty sure it's black. I'm pretty sure it's black at F8 here.
Well, no, but you can then balance it. You can balance it by the ISO.
Right, which is why I think I ended up at like a 1000.
Right, so the ISO, we're not trying to get rid of the ISO. The ISO, I don't really care if it's 1,000 or 100. It doesn't matter to me. But what we're trying to do is try to get you off a high-speed sync.
Right, I got you.
Because that'll give you more control over exactly what you want to do. Because high-speed sync isn't actually necessary here. Now, it's not wrecking the picture. It looks really cool. But if you're going to move forward with this, like I think what you could do is then bump up the ISO. And then what you want to do is basically you want to be able to get it as high as you can without ruining the ambient, but also keeping the flash sync at like the flash power at 1/64th. You don't want to go higher than that. That is the split second flash that will freeze the action. Now that might not be enough light. In the end, it might not be enough light. And so what you have to do is then add more lights. Which you've done. So that is what I would do, is I would start adding more lights at 1/64th power. Now, they might not sync identically in that exact split second. It'll be close enough for what we're doing here.
Gotcha.
So it might be a situation of having, three lights lighting him, which will still look pretty cool. But then you have the wiggle room to then adjust it and go, all right, well, let's try it at 1/32nd power. And see what happens. Does it still stop his action, but allow the blur of the snow? We could still do that. Now you can adjust. Once you're in the high-speed sync, you don't really have that adjustment because everything's happening so fast. In terms of focus trap, now see the advantage of having it at 1/64th power is that it recharges very, very fast. And so I think in my head, now maybe it's frustrating with 16 kids, I would just have them each do it 6 or 8 times in a focus trap and say, all right, one of these is going to work. Would that be possible?
Yeah, I think that's pretty much what I just took one photo per pass and they each did probably 5. Yeah, 5 passes.
Okay. Oh no, I would only take one photo
each
pass, but I'd have them do 6, 8, 10, however many passes it took till they could hit their mark. Because I agree with you. Like I agree that having the F8 is a nice little safety net, but it means more flash power and thus isn't maximizing the effect. So look at your son's photo, very, very small. I see why you chose the other one. Like this is a very small snow spray.
Yeah.
And so his is okay. The other kid's is a better photo.
Yeah. And the angle's better too, and I don't have all the background distraction in the other
one. Well, ideally, you would have everybody cooperate with you and stay out of the shot.
Yeah, that's not happening. Like, there's a practice going on.
Right, but if you become this guy,
yes, right,
then we can set up a situation. So I think this is a really cool shot. I think there's a lot that we can do here, but I would avoid high speed sync at all costs. The only time I ever use high speed sync I've actually never used it anymore, but it's great for fill flash when you're outside in a very sunny day. That's what I find. Is that you're forced to shoot at ISO 100. You kind of want to have a blurry background, so you're like an F4, F2.8, something like that. And now you have to add flash. Well, you're not shooting at 1/200th. You're shooting at 1/2000th of a second. So now you need high speed sync just to add a little bit of fill flash in. So it's not your main flash. So what you're using this as, this is your key light, not your fill. And I think we can use it off high speed sync.
Okay.
All right. Well, just spend the week doing it and get back to us next week.
At some point I'm going to do shooting ones. I'll do something again with shooting.
Yeah, this is a really cool effect. So I think you have something here, and like anything good, it takes a little bit of honing to get it just right. But once you do, you're gonna be the guy. You're I don't know that you want to be the guy, because you're going to have to go around to all the rinks and shoot every kid now.
Yeah, I don't see myself doing that, but
maybe price it accordingly.
Maybe for a couple teams where I know people.
Yeah, I don't know. Price it high. Price it high. It's worth it.
Okay.
So, anyway, point being, any questions out there that like if I glossed over some of the bits of it, shoot Adam an email and he'll answer them.
Sure.
All right. Reminder, monthly photo challenge is Broadlight. Hashtag that Two Hosers Monthly Challenge or Hey Hosers, and we'll check that out. I think next month, by the way, Adam, I was going to mention it. Should I tell you, should we talk about it now or off the air maybe?
Off the air.
Off the air. Okay, well, a little secret for the fans then. I say fans, I meant listeners. I meant people forced into this. So yeah, that is Broadlight. Next week's challenge. Black background. Since we did black, you just did a black background. I assume it's still up in your living room?
No.
Okay, do you have a better suggestion for next week?
No.
Black background for next week.
Oh, I definitely won't be shooting my car.
Oh, you could do it.
Okay, I'm not going to do it, but black background.
All right, and we'll do that. All right, websites. Adam, where can people go to find your stuff?
They can go to adamschwartz.ca, and what about your stuff?
You can find mine at alnatridge.com or the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can go to find all the links, photos, everything we just talked about. And that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.